Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It is Friday, and this is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia Studios. Mike, Bo, and Tiff hanging out here with you. When did you bestow Freaky Friday? Normally, I'm not here on Fridays.
Yeah. So. It's been a football season-long thing, right? A Freaky Friday every now and then.
I don't know. I kind of tune it out. It's kind of like Hump Day and Friday to me. I just tune them out, so I don't have to. I don't have to think about them.
Phrase: I am him and he is me.
No, it's I am he and he is I.
Okay.
And it's from a Snoop Dogg song, by the way.
All right, ding.
Ain't that right, Day Day? See, Day Day knows. Old school, baby.
The weirdness where your relationship with Day Day continues.
Yeah, you know, jealousy is not a good look on you, Michael.
Mike, to answer your question though, it's been. I don't think it's been the whole football season. I think it's been about a month now, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that implies, it makes me think of like Halloween-esque stuff. Like, I don't understand why it's Freaky Friday.
Yeah.
Can't it just be just
weird stuff
Friday
happening,
before
all.
A game?
It could be.
But that's kind of
that's not very fun,
mundane
though.
And boring.
Yeah.
I just call it Falcons Friday.
Well, that's also a little bit mundane.
Well, it's technically a Falcons Friday. I mean, I think there's
I
money
did say
tied
Falcons
to that.
Freaky but, Fair Foul Friday.
So I don't want to call it that,
anyhow.
But... I just say, if you call it a regular Friday, I mean, every Friday in the fall should be exciting because it's football is here. I mean, we just had you coming off hopefully a good Thursday night game, and it's been good again lately. And you're previewing, I mean, amazing college football matchups, and obviously that's pass interference in that game last night. What we'll get to, but. It's a Falcons preview, and we're 6-3, and we get to play the team we hate the most. Or I hate the most. Y'all should hate the most. We all should hate them.
I hate them the most, too.
Thank you, Dylan. When you're not hating the Giants and the Cowboys.
See, here you go. You could have just left it at thank you, Dylan, and instead of trying to, again, continue to push your false narrative, but I digress for now.
Yeah, well, when push comes to shove and the Falcons are playing the Eagles in the playoffs, you'll choose not to be homeless.
I won't be homeless. I got somewhere to go. I can go live in my mom's house,
Wait,
and I'll say that
Simone
proudly.
Wait, supposed to leave you this week?
No, only when the Falcons and the Eagles play in the playoffs.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, it's coming.
Okay.
It'll be too toxic.
The demise of your relationship.
No, it's okay.
Dylan be in here rooting for the Falcons to get that 2 seed
well,
real
Dylan,
quick.
How are your nanny skills? Because we'll need one in April, so maybe.
I'm very good. I'm very good with children.
We can work something out. My basement's open.
Hey,
I mean, it's not, but we can make it open.
Hey, cheaper than daycare, I can tell you that.
Yeah, live in Dylan.
Hey, my people will get in touch with your people, Bo. We can make something happen.
You have people now.
He has no one.
This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. All right, it was a riveting Thursday night football game as the Ravens overcome a 21-7 deficit to beat the Bengals 35-34. And there was some talk about the last play of that game. Jamar Chase is always open. If you didn't know, if you didn't hear his post-game interview, he's always open. But that did not occur. He was not found on that two-point conversion attempt. So now the Bengals are in a hole.
I did think that it was a bad play call. I'll say that. And I know that there was people on, you know, the X last night that were kind of wondering whether or not Ja'Marr Chase was throwing shade at Joe Burrow or anybody else in that situation. When what he said, he was like, Joe doesn't always – he said basically, I'm always open, but Joe doesn't always see it that way. And I didn't feel like it was shade. I don't know how you could throw shade at a quarterback when you go for 250 and three tuds. It doesn't seem like that's what he was trying to do. But when I saw the play, I was like, it's a terrible play call. You're going through your second string tight end running a whip route into the flat, and it was like, that's what y'all came up with? Like, with the game on the line, you came up with a whip route to Tanner Hudson? So I think that, first of all, I think they disguised the coverage really well. I think Joe Burrow thought he was getting a cover zero blitz look, and then they all back off and drop into coverage.
Well, he does get hit on that play.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, he did.
He did get hit, and so he had to get the ball out. I think that I didn't love the play call, and I think they would have probably gone with a different design if they could have it back, and it's just not the look they got, and that's what they ended up with.
I also thought it was early contact there at the play, but, you know, you lose the game 35-34. There's plenty of other plays that you didn't make on the field.
Well, you let a team come back with a deficit of being down 21-7.
The fumble by the running back for Cincinnati. I'm drawing a blank on
Brown.
His name. Yeah, because he's in for Zach Moss. Yeah. So he fumbles, and immediately Baltimore goes to make it 21-14, and you could tell that, at that point, you're like, this ain't good. Momentum has swung in this matchup.
And this is a division rivalry. You're Cincinnati. You're on the road because it's obviously in Baltimore. Not a fan of the uniforms. Too much purple. Give me the black helmets. You're going to have all purple.
Man, I liked them. I liked both uniforms last night. I thought it was a good look.
I didn't think their Bengals were really that much different than normal. But, yeah, I don't like the all purple. The helmets, you could barely see the logo. The matte purple helmet with the shiny gloss sticker decal. I need a little differentiation from that, but whatever. It's what you want.
You know what? They almost kind of look Vikings-esque.
Yeah, they do. That's a good call, Tiff, with the gold.
That is a good call.
The gold numbers. I'm glad Thursday Night Football is good again, though. Whoever decided to make Thursday Night Football good again with the matchups, because we had like a year and a half, 2 years.
It was longer than that.
The last thing I wanted to see was a Jacksonville Texans matchup where you had two quarterbacks who were going to be out of the league in a year.
Yeah.
Playing on a Thursday night in November.
For sure. You had the Blake Bortles type games.
Yeah.
I think it was more than just a year and a half to me. It was like 2017 to like 2021. Every year I'm like, man, this is rough.
Was it 27? Were those the Color Rush games?
Yes.
That was
middle of the Color Rush. You know, I remember the Jets and whoever was wearing red, maybe it was the Texans. And I'm like, you know, red, green colorblind, and I'm trying to watch the Color Rush, and I'm like, I don't see
anything.
There's
a ton of people coming out,
dude,
talking about that and how
I was
could
lost.
Not see the game.
I was as lost as last year's Easter egg, man. And it was brutal.
It was funny because we played Tampa in a Color Rush game in 2016. And we wore like all whites, and I just remember looking and saying, these are just our road uniforms.
Yeah.
But there, somebody goes, no, the socks don't have the black in them. I said, oh, okay. But I like all whites, but no, it's good to have these good Thursday night games again. Like the primetime games, even the Monday night football games have been good matchups this year.
Yeah.
And for a while it was you couldn't have both. You couldn't have a good Thursday night and Monday night game.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think that they're all of a sudden good? I have a theory, and my theory is that they have done a good job targeting top 15 quarterbacks in the NFL and not having Thursday night games where you might end up with one of these other, you know, type of games.
I was just gonna say that the TV networks, when they re-upped the deal, said, look, you gotta do a better job. We know you have this fake little formula that you claim that you use where everything's random. It's not. But we need to have good matchups on prime times. We're paying a crap ton of money, and we deserve good matchups. You're cheating us and your viewers. And so I think the NFL has put a conscious effort. Now, if it's to do it based on what you're saying is, let's put top-tier quarterbacks together, that may very well be a part of it. But you know, I say that because we had a good game last week on Halloween, Tiff, that was kind of bad. You know, the Jets-Texans ended up being a pretty good game, but it wasn't necessarily a fun game like the one you saw last night.
Also true. But when you look at the Ravens now, because it started off the season, I remember people kind of hitting a little bit of the panic button because you lose to a Raiders team, you lose to the Chiefs, but then you rattle off a stretch of wins before having that hiccup against the Browns. But now they've bounced back from that with winning their second game in a row. Are they still, I feel like, in command in the AFC North?
Well, it's hard to answer because the Steelers are technically the first place team, but the Steelers have not played an AFC North game yet. So, and to me, if you look at the Ravens, they're 2-1 in the division. So I tend to lean towards yes. The thing for me is,
and they get the Steelers, by the way, next week.
Dang.
So
will the Ravens defense come back to hurt them? Because their defense is nowhere near. They've given up 253 points already this season. They're not the team they were defensively last year. However, they might be better this year offensively with the addition of Derrick Henry.
This is also true with Henry just going off this year, right? He looks like he actually never lost the fountain of youth. He's just maintained it, and, I mean, the guy can't be stopped. It's pretty ridiculous.
And Lamar is maybe as good, if not better, than last year.
Man.
Because of it.
When we come back here, let's debate a name here, because I've been getting some messages. I don't know if you have, because we're going to talk about Bijan. But what say?
Bijan.
West Durham's favorite topic.
And everyone's like,
West Durham's favorite topic.
Like, can y'all please pronounce it right on the show?
We pronounce it just like he says.
Exactly.
In fact, I can play it for you where he's saying his own name.
Let's do that coming back. Let's troll some people. We'll be right back here on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Bijan. Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Gone.
I should tell you to run it one more time, but I'm not. If anything, I've messed up because I've heard it the wrong
Bijan
so many times.
I told
you.
You've
been saying it right.
Thank you. For once, I said a name right. You know
Bijan.
What? Every time we talk about Bijan, just have that drop.
Yeah, we should save that. So get out of my.
We should just not say it and then let Dylan just play the. Man, I really think the running back, his name is
Bijan,
is going to have a great day.
Yeah, I think a key to Sunday's game against the Saints is
Bijan
going off. I'm going to tell you something.
Oh, man.
The best stuff you can ever do is off the cuff. I'm glad you brought that up today, Tiffany.
Because I'm witty and creative.
Well,
thanks. Appreciate it.
Yes. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to give you the kudos there.
Thank you.
You get the love this morning. I think sometimes we all need a little love.
Mm.
Even. Damn it, Dylan.
Bijan.
Golly.
I was about to transition to give Tiffany these.
Thank you. So we caught you off guard. Yeah. I appreciate you.
Oh, man.
So, Bijan has had a back-to-back games with 7 receptions and 4 straight games with at least 100 scrimmage yards. That includes that career best, 145 combined yards, rushing and receiving last week against Dallas.
Where did we say he was, Bo, in the all-purpose yards? Is he number 4?
He's
right
like
now?
4 or 5 at 935 yards from scrimmage.
I think he got Saquon, Kamara, and one other
well,
person.
Well, Derrick Henry's up there. Derrick Henry is 1.
There you go.
Because Derrick Henry has, like, at this point, I don't know how many yards he necessarily got last night, but he's up over, I think, 1,100 yards rushing alone. And I think he's got another, like, 100 or so on the ground. And, yeah, Saquon is up there as well. Saquon is quietly, I know a lot of love goes to quarterbacks and receivers in this league, but the running backs are having a quiet, great year. Derrick Henry, great year. Saquon, great year. Alvin Kamara, great year.
Bijan.
Great year. Might need to clip that a little bit. Yeah. But yeah, great year. So it's great, and they're doing it in a multifaceted way this year, Michael.
Yeah, and I you know, we're going to get to the Falcons-Saints stuff, but I will say on that topic, I wonder if one of the reasons that we are talking about more running backs is because Christian McCaffrey has not played. And you almost don't, like, so you take him out of the conversation and it makes your eyes kind of bounce around from team to team and you go, man, they are having a great year. I mentioned it yesterday. Alvin Kamara, I think, is leading the NFL in touches, almost 200 to this point. So he's the entire offense, in my opinion, for New Orleans right now, and that's going to be who the Falcons are keying in on this weekend.
And Christian McCaffrey possibly coming back. I believe he is coming back this weekend. So, but back to the Falcons. And the Saints. Give you some quick injury updates here from Thursday's practice for the Falcons. Grady Jarrett and, Drake London. I was looking at London. I could not recall the first name. You know, I was thinking, Bijan.
Darren.
So I was like, Darren London. Wow. They were limited again. And that was the same for tight end Kyle Pitts with the hamstring injury. Your outside linebacker, James Smith Williams, tibia, and then right guard Chris Lindstrom, also knee. So all those guys. We're limited on Thursday.
The James Smith Williams one is, when I saw tibia, I was like, okay, he got kicked in the shin. Like, there's no other, like, there's no other injury that involved
it
the tibia.
Could be like a contusion.
Right.
That's painful.
Well, wouldn't that be coming from getting kicked in the shin?
Well, yeah. But because, I mean, unless he, I don't know, maybe he walked into a low coffee table home and sustained.
You know, and I can't remember what the muscle is that goes along the tibia where you get shin splints. But I was like, other than that, like, if it's a tibia on the injury report, you just simply got kicked in the shin. There's no other way around it. There's no other way to really injure your tibia other than being kicked in the shin. So that's one you're keeping a close eye on because I do think he serves a valuable purpose in terms of what he brings to the run game. I think he's done a nice job, as has, you know, but one of the things we're going to have to talk about, and you guys will probably be talking about on Sunday, is who's going to be elevated. And Damon Harris is one of those guys that you look out there and wonder who will be, you know, the standard elevation this weekend. But he's out of elevations. So something has to be done in terms of that. But James Smith Williams, to your point, Drake London, everybody's keeping an eye on. I do think that he obviously is a massive piece of this offense, but Kadarius Hodge is kind of slotted in, you know, specifically to the Drake London role. It is interesting the way they do that, and I'm sure y'all have noticed this as well. Kadarius Hodge just comes in and plays Drake London. They don't shuffle anybody else around. It is just simply he is Drake London. It's not like Darnell moves to a slot and Ray moves up to the 2 spot or Kyle Pitts moves it. No, it's just Kadarius Hodge and Drake London are the same person in that offense. So that's one to keep an eye on because I think the Drake's obviously a huge X factor.
On the Saints side of the things, they had 2 changes on their injury report. So 2 starters on injured reserve returned to practice and were upgraded to full reps. That was safety Will Harris with a hamstring and center Eric McCoy, who was dealing with a groin injury. He actually practiced on a limited basis. But then you have receiver Chris Olave, concussion. Still the same thing. We're not totally sure, I guess, of his status.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
But you can't imagine, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then also Cedric Wilson with the shoulder did not participate. Olave did not participate, obviously. And then Kool-Aid McKinstry, their cornerback, he has a hamstring. He did not participate, and neither did your left guard, Lucas Patrick. So he's dealing with an ankle injury.
Kool-Aid left the game last week or just didn't play in the game last
week. He was not active. He was inactive on the Sunday against the Panthers. I kind of don't expect him to play, which
we were talking about because Marshawn Lattimore, obviously.
Yes.
Yeah. Shamar Jean Charles. I think. Yeah, is that good for you, Mike?
It's close enough.
Wait, what did you say? Yeah.
Shamar Jean Charles.
Is it Jean? There's been a couple guys that have Jean. Or is it Jean?
He just skipped over the Jean part the other day, which was so funny. He goes, Shamar.
He wasn't
Charles.
Sure, probably. I would have skipped it too.
Well, it says he went to Ohio State. No, he went to App State. So I'm going to say it's Jean.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, I don't know.
I like to say like Jean.
Yeah, App State. You got to be careful. App State by way of New Orleans would not be.
Wait, New Orleans, it could very well
I know, that's what I'm saying. You never know.
Let's see where Shamar is from.
Since we're talking like about name pronunciations this segment.
Instead of Herbert.
Yeah. Well, it's hyphenated.
I actually just looked it up. It is, in fact, John Charles.
John Charles.
Yeah. Who says who?
On the Saints website.
I don't mean that.
Not credible.
If it's on the Saints website, it is not credible. Okay. If you told me it would go look, he did play for the Pack. And I don't have the enunciation. Sometimes I do. On like this is what's funny. I don't have Shamar John Charles enunciation on here, but I've have Howden for Jordan Howden from the Saints. Like I don't know how to say the word Howden, but I got it on there.
To your point, I always notice one every single week that I'm like, I've been saying that definitely along. Tyrann Mathieu is one that I say Tyrann Mathieu.
No, it's always been Tyrann.
Yeah, and just like I've always like ever since
I've always
been the
called
Honey
him
Badger,
Tyrann.
I've always called Tyrann Mathieu.
Just like Kamara, just like Marcus Mariota. I got so sick of people saying his name wrong the other week.
Bijan.
Thank you, Bijan. You know my favorite is Alante,
yeah,
and I'm like, Alante.
Alante.
You're like, no, it's Alante. I'm like, Alante. You're like, no, yeah. It's Alante. So you know, if you play for the Saints, I'm gonna say your name however I want.
Hey, who's gonna be playing if we don't have Kool-Aid McKinstry?
Well,
and there's no Marshawn Lattimore.
Shamar Jean Charles.
Here we go. Okay.
John Charles. Okay.
I do believe Tiff. To your point, all jokes aside, I think that's who will step up to me. And I don't think you want to put Rico Payton out there yet, if he's even elevated or on the team, or active that week, I should say. So I think it'll be Shamon John Charles is who I think will be up there.
Can you do me a favor? The right defensive end, number 92, can you pronounce his name?
Number 92. Hold on.
Yeah.
Tano? Passanio.
That a boy. Yeah,
see?
Look at that.
See?
Yeah,
you know what?
Nice
all
work.
Right, all right, I'm going
to Where did he go to school? I think
he went to Villanova.
Yeah.
Okay.
Passanio. That's a good one.
I play a game where like I get so excited when I'm producing / spotting on game day and a name like that comes up that like I get so excited to point to it for Wes. Like, hey, he made the tackle. Yeah. Tano Passanio made the tackle, and
Wes, go ahead.
And I love him to say it. And when he does it quick and it rolls, I'll look at him like,
yeah,
okay.
Impressive.
All right,
that Wes Durham is an impressive guy.
Attaboy, Wes.
He's
attaboy.
An impressive fella, that Wes Durham.
Because at one point, the Samoan names, Dave Archer is phenomenal with Samoan names. He. I don't know if it was he grew up with some Samoan family or in college or whatever, but he's phenomenally good with knowing how to pronounce those. Wes has gotten better.
Yeah, he's working on it.
Wes isn't listening.
That's all you can ask.
Nah, Wes is, where is he this week? He's got a college game this week. So obviously, he's ACC Network on a Friday
I wish
night.
He was calling Miami and Georgia Tech again because that was an electric call last year.
I'll let you think it over where he's at. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. When we come back, your boy, Billy Napier, is he staying in Florida or not, Bo? The latest college football headlines.
My boy, huh?
On the other side of the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Back here on the morning shift, getting you the latest college football headlines. And we'll see, take a temperature gauge on Bo to see how he feels about this news with Florida's decision to have Billy Napier continue as a head coach in the top line is the top line takeaway from an athletic director's letter to folks. If I could find the words to speak well, which I'm not right now.
Yeah.
Making fun of you trip me up.
Well,
that's what you get.
I'm going to tell you this. I'm okay with it, and here's why. Because the reports are out, and I'll give Pete Thamel a lot of credit, 70% of Florida's NIL money is locked up in freshmen and sophomores, and that there's a lot of people not only inside the program, but I have said this all along, that this was my feelings, that I thought that DJ Lagway's future at Florida was directly tied to Billy Napier's future. And
meaning these kids came, there are still young guys on this roster that came here because he recruited them.
Yes, including me, the most important of them all, which is DJ Lagway. And I think that if Napier was fired, DJ Lagway was going to enter the portal. And to me, the most important player at the University of Florida is DJ Lagway. I think that
sure is now.
I think that's why Billy Napier handled him the way he did, even though it was Graham Mertz's team. When he got in and played well, Napier said, I've got to give you playing time.
Yeah.
And just one note from the athletic director's letter. This is from A.D. Strickland. He said, in these times of change across college athletics, we are dedicated to a disciplined, stable approach that is focused on long-term, sustained success for Gator athletics, for their athletes, recruits, and fans.
And I know that it's probably the cool thing, and I'll come at this from obviously a non-Florida angle. I think it's like a cute thing on the socials to be like, you know, for other teams and other fan bases to be like, yes, we like that. You know, I think there was a number of Alabama fans like 10 years ago that were in the Keep Gene Chizik t-shirts. You know what I mean? Everybody mm-hmm. wanted Gene Chizik to stay at Auburn. I don't think that way, man. This is a team that despite everything that has gone wrong, because they have had, it seems like, one massive injury in every position group on their team, they continue to play hard. And I think there's a lot to be said about that. And that's usually how I take a temperature gauge of what is going on, because I think that when a team is playing hard, you keep that coach around, because obviously that team's, especially nowadays.
Well, two things for me. A, DJ Lagway's dad was extremely excited on social media about this.
There you go.
B, I appreciate Scott Strickland putting it out there now, because
that's a phenomenal point.
Because I hope now DJ Lagway doesn't feel pressure to push himself to play. And I hope Billy Napier, regardless of whatever you guys think, oh, they're always going to do the best. The coach always says, I'm going to do the best thing for the player. I hope now Billy Napier doesn't push and press him to play if he's not ready. If he's ready, if he thinks he's good, by all means play. But do not rush out there to save this coach's job or to save your own job and rush the player out there, because DJ Lagway's future to me is the most important thing for this program, and his health is a part of it. And it might sound like I'm being a little bit program first and not about the player, but they go hand in hand.
Yeah, no, I agree, and I think it's a good move. It's funny to me because you start to see the ripple amongst the SEC and college football of, okay, if Billy Napier's staying put, because I think everybody would probably point to the fact that you expected Napier to be fired at some point, and you expected Florida to be the number one job that would come available this offseason. I don't think there's any doubt about that. When you look at college football landscape, all the main programs have their guys kind of locked up, at least for a couple of years. So you would say Florida would have been in the pole position in terms of those coaches. The ripple effect as you move on down through college football, you're going, man, so that guy might not move. You know, Lane's not moving. So Ole Miss ain't coming open. So all this stuff on, you know, kind of down the road, and you go, man, it really does feel like almost a gridlock right now in terms of SEC coaches.
Well, I was going to elaborate on that because you sent that in our group chat yesterday, wanting to talk about, this is the first time in a long time, at least as it stands right now, that we are not going to see an SEC coach lose his job during the season.
Yeah.
Again, as it stands right now. But right. There are a number of people on looking at a hot seat list. And I hate even using that phrase because,
sure,
again, people's
yeah.
jobs and livelihoods. But Sam Pittman in Arkansas. So he is no longer basically on the stove.
It's cooled a little bit.
It's cooled
sure.
a little bit is what I'm seeing here. And then with even new addition like Oklahoma, mm-hmm. now people are kind of assuming maybe Brent Venables will not last.
That's the
next
one.
Year.
Yeah. That's the
I
one
know.
That I could see getting off the rails over the last few weeks and wondering if. But I think they've gotten a little bit better too, and they've got a big game ahead of them this weekend.
I personally don't think Mark Stoops should be in trouble. They did just kind of secure him a couple of years ago, I believe. But if Kentucky ends up at 3-9 3-10. I think they play a 13th game. I'm not 100% sure. Please don't quote me on it. That one I could look at. Has it just kind of run its course?
Yeah.
Has he been there a while?
Remember, he attempted to go to A&M last year.
Well, they definitely came calling.
Yeah.
So I wonder what that one looks like. That's the only one I think, maybe. I think Jeff Lebby's going to get more time. I think
Hugh Freeze.
They can't afford it. Yeah.
I don't think they can afford it. And I also think that they're a little bit in the let him get his guys in there realm for some reason still, quarterback-wise. I think you got a good point with Sam Pittman. I'm a Sam Pittman guy. I don't know why Arkansas would move on yet. I think Arkansas – I had this debate and this conversation with Arch and West.
They've already hit their over this year.
Well, I had this conversation with Arch and West about what Arkansas has been in the past. And we kind of disagreed. I was like, I think the reality of what they were in the past is not what they are now, despite the Walton money that they have there and all this other money with these
– Tyson.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just think Arkansas is 8-5 every year. And I think that's – maybe you can get a player in and with the portal and with the Walton and the Tyson money and be 13-0 one year, but it's not so easy for anybody to be 13-0.
I'll say this too. We always hated playing Arkansas, and there's a lot to be said about that. When you had the, I played in the Darren McFadden, Felix Jones era, and you did not like seeing Arkansas come calling. We had a number of overtime, last minute kind of finishes with Arkansas over the years, and that was never a fun game. They're just gritty. And then when you see the fact that Arkansas was able to roll on Tennessee the way they were, that their over-under going in the year was 4.5. They've already hit that. And I think there's a lot to be said about that team moving forward and the fact that Sam Pittman is able to get those guys to play at a high level even when they don't have superior talent. And so I think we're all kind of hitting around it. Brent Venables, to me, is the closest one because there is such a high standard at that program. And when you look at what's going on at Texas, I don't know that they're keeping lockstep. But, again, everything surrounding the ability of these players to just move on at the drop of the hat, I think you're less quick to kind of pull the trigger on getting coaches out of there.
When we come back here on the morning shift, we'll get you set for the Falcons and Saints this weekend and give you an update on Derek Carr's status as he goes into this game. That's the quarterback the Falcons will be up against when we return here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Duh. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.